Hello, Exopolitics listeners. I'm R.V. Romero, Stellar Artistic Director of Exopolitics Radio. I'd like to thank you all for listening to our show and for taking an interest in the evolution of our planet and our species through Exopolitics Radio and the study of law and order in the universe. For over a year now, I've enjoyed working closely with your elusive host, Alfred Weber, on this fine production that we're proud to broadcast on a weekly basis and post free of charge on our website. Currently, I'm happy to say that in the last 90 days, ExopoliticsRadio.com has been visited by people in over 56 countries and 492 cities around the globe, including all 50 states in the U.S. During that time, we've averaged over 5,000 podcast downloads per show, and we're adding listeners every week with affiliates at Paranormal Radio, the Revere Radio Network, and most recently, Kansas City Online Radio. Now, I'm telling you all this to give you an update on how our show is progressing, and also to let you know that indeed, the number of intelligent people here on Earth who are catching on to the fact that there are other intelligent life forms in the universe is growing. And Exopolitics Radio is proud to be on the cutting edge of this revelation by reporting news and providing the insight and perspectives that you can't find anywhere else on the radio, in the newspapers, or on the television. We want to continue bringing you Exopolitics Radio both online and on air free of charge, as we always have, because we believe in the message and the content. However, as a studio and production team, we do have routine expenses which must be maintained in order to do so. It pains us to ask, and I promise we won't do it often, but if every listener online donated $1 a month, that would completely cover our production costs for the show and the immense amount of time spent doing research, interviews, and production time given graciously by our host. Of course, not every listener is going to be able to donate $1 or donate on a monthly basis, so if you could consider donating a little bit more, that would be a tremendous help and allow us to continue adding more and more affiliates, creating new programs, interviews, and materials, and most importantly, continue broadcasting this message of hope and truth around the globe and the universe. So whatever the outcome, I can promise you that we will continue working to bring you a unique and sincere program week in and week out, 12 months a year. So we thank you for your support of Exopolitics Radio. Please remember to go to www.exopoliticsradio.com and click on the donate menu option for more information. Thank you very much, and now back to the show.
The views expressed on Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are those of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of 1480 KPHX or our sponsors.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, a weekly magazine format public affairs show on relations between our human society and advanced civilizations elsewhere in the universe. Now, our free audio archives, which are accessed from all over the world, are at www.exopoliticsradio.com. That's www.exopoliticsradio.com. And I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Well, before launching in today's important program on the control, the hidden control of the media, now, wouldn't you know about that, folks? I just want to read this extraordinary email that we got from one of our listeners. He says, "Dear Mr. Weber, I have just finished my first study of your wonderful book, Exopolitics. In my opinion, it and Dr. Stephen Greer's books, Hidden Truth, are the very most significant books extant for today's world with no," he capitalizes it, "no exceptions. My 88-year-old gut is with you all the way. I'm sorry I can't afford 24 copies of your book to circulate among my 4 sons and 1 daughter, 10 grandchildren, and 15-plus great-grandchildren. Please keep up the good work, Dr. Weber. I'm with you all the way." Well, we want to thank that listener very, very much, because I think he reflects the collective sentiment here at our Exopolitics Radio lightship, in which we're all voyagers now, you listeners and ourselves, that we're on an extraordinary journey. And that brings us to today's program, which is with Disclosure Project witness Dan Willis, a former ABC newsman who has had reports, he'll talk about them, of a huge extraterrestrial spacecraft coming out of the ocean that were reported on top secret, above top secret Navy traffic, you know, secure radio traffic. And he'll be talking about a secret list of 42 or so NSA, National Security Agency, and CIA operatives who are actually posing as, they're double agents, and they're posing as top officials in mainstream media, top media, mainstream media officials, executives today, and thus controlling what you receive as news. And in fact, they are top operatives of the National Security Agency and the Central Intelligence Agency, and they are top executives in the mainstream media. So no wonder it's all controlled. You know, I happened to be in the United States the other day. I spoke at the 9/11 Madison, Wisconsin 9/11 Scholars Conference, and I was on my way back. I had flown over on August 1st through Minneapolis, Minnesota, where that bridge collapse occurred, and the preponderance of opinion in the false flag researchers' world is that that may well have been a controlled demolition, another false flag operation. And there are all sorts of theories attached to it. But I just want to say briefly on the subject of controlled media, that's how the 9/11 false flag operation on September 11, 2001 was carried out. What we discovered at the Madison, Wisconsin 9/11 Scholars Conference, which was organized by Professor Jim Fetzer of the University of Wisconsin, whose 26 books go back to the Kennedy investigation of the Kennedy assassination back in the 60s up to the present day. I mean, he's done monumental work in his life, as Dr. Judy Wood, Morgan Reynolds, and Ace Baker showed. Number one, the work of Dr. Judy Wood, 80% of the bulk of the mass of the World Trade Center towers most plausibly were transformed into nanoparticles by a molecular, advanced molecular disassociation weapon, which could have been a directed energy weapon or laser or maser of some sort. And this could have been a space-based, land-based, or air-based. We don't know yet. It's sort of a black box. And what Morgan Reynolds and Ace Baker in their remarkable analysis showed is there were no planes used anywhere in 9/11, either at the World Trade Center or at the Pentagon. This is it was what we call a proof of concept to the other military powers of the world of future combat systems. That is a mixture of fact and fiction. It was like warfare, like a cartoon. And if you want to find out more about it, just Google International Citizens 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal, and I'll take you right to that website, and you'll see the key sources there of Dr. Judy Wood, Morgan Fairchild, Ace Baker, and others. You can also listen to a talk by myself, and you can listen to the entire proceedings, and you'll see how the essentially 9/11 was a controlled media event. They did it through video trickery, through pixels. You have the actual news footage that you think you're seeing a plane, and it's just a bunch of pixels that was prearranged. And in one stage, one of the channels had to do it so quickly, and it had 17 seconds, that they arranged the pixels, and they actually showed it on the air live, so that the plane actually went through the World Trade Center. Can you imagine an airplane, which Morgan Reynolds, a former high government official, says is nothing but a fragile aluminum tube, and if it would have crashed up against the side of the World Trade Center, it would have been smashed. We saw on film all of the air crashes that are on the internet. I mean, airplanes are crashed on, if they collide with another aircraft carrier, just on the ground, a propeller, they're smashed. And they show it going through the World Trade Center. We were all fooled. Well, they attempted to carry off 9/11, which was a mode, it's called Future Combat Systems. It's a two-hour-long cartoon. That's what 9/11 was. And it was carried out with video fakery and an advanced molecular disassociation weapon. And so that's the illustration of the control of the media by these National Security Agency and CIA operatives that we know since Operation Mockingbird have been posing as media executives. What's good about that is that they're in place so they can be subpoenaed in any criminal proceedings which will come out of the International Citizens 9/11 War Crimes Tribunal and or a 9/11 Independent Prosecutor Act, because they're all in place and we have it all on videotape and we know who the video editors were on duty then. So we've got them. We've got them cold. Now, what's our mission here at Exopolitics Radio? Our mission is to deliver you the news about and the perspectives about exopolitics, which is the new political science of outer space, which is the relations between our human civilization and advanced civilizations throughout the universe, or should I say the universes, or should I say the multiverses, or should I say the multiplicity of dimensions in which we exist. The exopolitics model, which I just described, was first published in the year 2000, and it's functioned as a cosmic trigger. Since the year 2000, there has been a virtual acceleration of, shall we say, the openness and the integration of human society and an awareness of human society and extraterrestrial civilizations. Now, some people say that's because in 1987, through the harmonic convergence, what happened is that Earth started to transit from what we call the third dimension of that we all see of matter into a fourth dimension and beyond of matter, time, and space, so that phenomena like crop circles began to be much more visible in 1987, because we're actually going through a dimensional shift now. But in the year 2000, the exopolitics model was first published and presented by yours truly in June of 2000 at a scholarly conference at the University of Wyoming. And that model is one candidate for triggering a crucial sea change in human perception. And it's gone so far that in the Associated Press reported in January of 2006 that exopolitics was nominated for 2005, New Word of the Year. The exopolitics model is the obverse of the 20th century canon of science, which held that all intelligent life ends at Earth's geostationary orbit. The exopolitics model holds that we live in a highly populated universe filled with intelligent, evolving civilizations operating under universal law with governance systems and mediated by universe politics. Now, we on Earth, we're just becoming aware of the fact that we live in a populated universe. But this is all part of an integrated higher plan. Now, I like to call exopolitics the sort of the cosmic banana, until someone pointed out that it should be the cosmic sweet potato that the hungry monkeys wash. Like all models, exopolitics provides a path for minds to go where they had not ventured before. The exopolitics model provides the interface between human and extraterrestrial societies. The exopolitics model is a human version of the 100 monkeys syndrome. Exopolitics allows us to internalize the truth that we are part of a populated cosmos and that the neighbors are outreaching to us at this time. And by the neighbors, we need an integrated higher plan of upper dimensional, ethical, extraterrestrial civilizations. Prove it to me. As Thomas Kuhn, author of The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, has written, scientific revolutions come about in paradigm shifts, in sea changes about the way that our entire human species chooses to see its reality. No amount of scientific data will change any single individual's mind about humanity's living in a populated universe. filled with diverse, advanced, intelligent civilizations, some of which are seeking to engage us now. Each person, and that means you and me, each person has to want to change their own mind on the basis of available data and context. You know, it's like a lifelong friend of one of the producers of this program wrote to them from Los Angeles and said, "Oh, well, Alfred Weber in Exopolitics Radio, Alfred Weber's a charlatan and Exopolitics Radio is a scam." Well, that's their perception, because each person has to want to change their own mind about the paradigm shift, about whether or not we live in a populated universe. No amount, no matter how much evidence we would present to that person in Los Angeles, no matter how much evidence I would present to my brothers and sisters, no matter how much evidence I would present to the 48 or the 25% of the population that are still in skeptical or cynics land, it doesn't matter. They have to want to change. Where do you stand on the exopolitics scientific revolution? Take a moment and write a brief statement describing your personal attitudes toward the existence of other intelligent life in the universe. Take out a paper and pencil now while you're listening and write a brief statement. Here is where I stand about the existence of other intelligent life in the universe and whether or not they're outreaching to us now. Because next week on Exopolitics Radio, we're going to be addressing the issue of extraterrestrials and world peace. And people say, "Oh, get rid of Dick Cheney, get rid of George Bush, and we're going to have world peace." Well, you know, Dick Cheney was the year ahead of me at Yale, and he flunked out of Yale, and he's been flunking out of everything. And if you got rid of Dick Cheney, I don't know about world peace. But extraterrestrials are here to help us through the next civilization. So you really want to tune into Exopolitics Radio this week to listen to how the media is controlled, and next week to listen to how extraterrestrials are crucial to the issue of world peace. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned for our interview with former ABC newsman and Disclosure Project witness Dan Willis on the covert control of the media and the extraterrestrial presence. Thank you.
This must be underwater love. The way I feel it seeping all over me. This must be underwater love. The way I feel. O que que é esse amor da água? Deve sentir muito parecido a esse amor.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, and I'm your host, Alfred Weber, and we have today a very special guest, Dan Willis. Dan was one of the Disclosure Project's 20 top secret military witnesses who testified at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on May 9th, 2001, in front of nearly every one of the major media. This should have been an event that literally would have transformed the world had it been broadcast as intended. But as we will learn, it was manipulated by the media, and that is not accidental. That is one of the technologies of control. And my co-director at the Institute for Cooperation in Space, Dr. Carol Rosen, was there as a Disclosure Project witness. And I myself was a Disclosure Project witness and submitted an affidavit and had my testimony videotaped. So, Dan, it's a great pleasure to welcome you to Exopolitics Radio.
It's a great pleasure to be able to express my thoughts on this and share it with many other people. I felt my testimony was at least significant comparatively to the other explosive testimonies at the press club. And we, each of us, you know, broke our national security oath in doing so. And my particular involvement was with the Navy and was receiving messages from ships at sea that the particular testimony was a ship off the coast of Alaska that reported a priority message that was classified as secret, that off the port bow of the ship, the crew witnessed a brightly glowing reddish-orange elliptical object, you know, basically a UFO coming out of the ocean, which I believe is classified as a USO, you know, when it's under the water, emerged out of the ocean, and it shot off into space, and it was substantiated by the ship's radar operator going over 7,000 miles per hour. And I had a top-secret crypto level 14 with extrasensory material handling clearance at the time.
And this report of a 70-foot in diameter craft emerging out of the ocean off the coast of Alaska in 1969, this was sent to the Chief of Naval Operations in Washington, D.C.
That's correct.
Yeah, and you were an ABC News person also at one point during your career.
This was at the Naval Communications Station in San Francisco. I'm also, you know, a Vietnam War vet. I was in combat action on the Mekong River in my, you know, four-year Navy, short Navy career.
Right. So when you came forward with this testimony, you were actually making public a top-secret crypto-level 14 with extra-sensitive material handling security. You were actually making public a top-level secret communication of the U.S. Navy.
It was a secret-level message that, you know, I went through the Office of the Freedom of Information Act of Office of Naval Investigations to try to retrieve that document. Unlike the other witnesses, many of which had supporting official documentation, you know, such as Captain Salas and Commander Bethune and John Callahan, who was the third highest in FAA administration, they all brought supporting documentation. I wasn't able to bring supporting documentation. I also worked with the Navy at the Naval Electronic Engineering Center for about 13 years, and my coworker, I thought was curious. He worked at the NORAD facility, and he shared with me that he noticed on the screens the UFOs coming in, going thousands of miles per hour, going right-hand turns, and he first inquired about it. His older supervisor told him that it was just a visit from his little friends, and that all stuck with him, and all stuck with me, too. And I often wondered over the years. I knew there was something on the inside that was going on, but it's hard to sort all this stuff out, you know, through the craziness of the UFO community. You knew something was up, but, you know, you can only put together fragments and start to connect the dots. It was not until I learned about the database that Dr. Greer had amassed of over 450 military intelligence witnesses, some of which are astronauts, admirals, and generals, many with official supporting documentation, and was planning to going with 20 of these witnesses for a congressional hearing. Once I started to acquaint myself and become aware of the testimonies and the credibility of the witnesses, all pointing to the fact that our legal constitutional government has been infiltrated by an illegal rogue operation, which is utilizing the national security apparatus in order to maintain the secrecy of this, but it's for its own agenda with no legal oversight from our government, I decided to, you know, break my national security oath and support Dr. Greer's, you know, efforts and join the other 20 witnesses at the National Press Club.
You've been listening to an Exopolitics Radio interview with Dan Willis, former ABC newsman and Disclosure Project witness. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Alfred Weber.
Well, it's about time. It's beginning.
afraid.
I need to lose weight. I wish I could stop smoking.
I have so much stress.
I'm in pain.
Why am I sad?
I need to perform better.
I feel like there's no way out.
If you or someone you know needs help making healthy and significant life changes, they may benefit from hypnotherapy and life coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle. Hypnosis uses the power of the subconscious mind for recovery and health. It strengthens your natural psychic abilities. As hypnotherapy removes blocks and clarifies your inner knowledge, it allows you to move forward. Coaching offers a practical framework which strengthens the life changes you desire.
To find out more regarding hypnotherapy, life coaching, exoconsciousness, and how to achieve an integrated, peaceful, healthy, and harmonious state of being, call Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle at 602-615-1485. That's 602-615-1485. Or log on to www.rebeccahardcastle.com.
Welcome back to our exclusive Exopolitics Radio interview with former ABC newsman Dan Willis and Disclosure Project witness. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm Alfred Weber. Now, you actually came and asked us here at Exopolitics Radio because you felt very strongly about the issue of the control of the media. And in talking with you about your experiences after the Disclosure Project press conference, this came through very, very powerfully, particularly with regard to the CNN coverage of the Disclosure Project press conference, at which 20 witnesses such as yourself came forward. I wondered if you could walk us through what the testimony that was presented there summarized, what it disclosed, and then what CNN actually did with it.
Yeah, I'd be glad to, Alfred. You know, with the national security oil, I just want to point out that we're sworn to protect the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign or domestic. And in this instance, it became clear that our legal government's been, you know, infiltrated from within, utilizing these highly compartmented operations in all branches of, you know, the military intelligence community, and as well as the major media, which they have. And when I was at the press club, I had this incredible feeling that, my God, you know, some of the testimonies were so explosive that, you know, this was going to be a complete world-changing event. Some of the things that were disclosed were that, you know, our legal government has been denied access with proof of at least two presidential administrations, that there's no legal oversight to these unacknowledged black rogue projects taking in hundreds of billions of dollars a year. We have witnesses involved in targeting and shooting down the extraterrestrial craft and retrieving them. Witnesses were there that testified to that effect. And unanimously, the ET civilizations have not shown hostility, but have rather shut down, you know, nuclear weapons at various times. And the technologies that were derived back in the late 40s that lost control during the Eisenhower era could end the energy environmental crisis that's been hidden in these projects. All this was disclosed. Each one of these headlines is like major headlines that should have gone across the world. But what happened was, and, you know, I took special interest because I used to be a broadcast engineer for many years and was an ABC newsman. So I watched carefully how the editing room took this information, how carefully they selectively edited the coverage, and it came out to merely state that the message that we wanted to have a congressional hearing on was, quote, we are not alone and that UFOs are real. And either the average person sitting back watching this 1.5 minute news blip that just flashes on just for one time, you know, it doesn't send a message to the public or a government. And note, this is pre-9/11. This is May 9th, 2001. That it has any implications of serious impact on everyone's lives at all.
Right. Here we have messages given by top-level governmental military intelligence witnesses stating that ETs are not hostile, but they have shut down nuclear weapons, kind of as a clear signal. We've been covering that here on Exopolitics Radio. and that there are, within the black budget economy, technologies related to extraterrestrial technologies that could virtually revolutionize life on Earth in a very short period of time from an energy point of view, in terms of our environmental crisis, in terms of eliminating poverty, suffering, disease. And the only thing that CNN showed then was kind of this vaccination that says, we are not alone. What did you take from that? What was your kind of analysis of when you saw that on CNN?
Well, you know, it totally took me by surprise because, you know, I've somewhat naively have always trusted the media to give good coverage of everything. And you know, the night before going to Washington, I was tossing and turning, and I had this dream that, you know, some black operative came up and discredited us all, you know, with trying to say something. I couldn't imagine how this could not be a world-changing event. And, you know, after I was on CNN, CBS sent a special assignment team down, especially to interview me on this. And they interviewed me for 45 minutes, but I said, I'm not going to do this interview unless I'm willing to say, quote, that we have the scientists willing to come forth in an open congressional hearing that can prove that we have technologies in these black projects, once they're released from the national security oath, that is, that can end the environmental and energy crisis of the world, unquote. And they promised, the director said, absolutely, we'll do that. When it got done through the editing room, they did exactly the same cut on as CNN did. And the lady who was the director of the show, she was almost in tears. She said, you know, I never had this happen before, that the higher executives made me cut out the parts about the energy and the scientists, you know, and also a CS technical advisor, you know, Space Energy Access Systems. And I've been traveling all over the United States meeting with inventors. And, you know, the same issue they have of being slapped with national security issues on trying to bring out new technologies is essentially the same issue, because it has to do with maintaining these energy empires.
Meaning that if some of these inventors attempt to speak out, or what are some of the examples that happen to some of the inventors?
Well, if anybody wants to look into this, they can go to seizepower.com and look at the strategic overview on this whole issue and see how, through the years, you know, it's quite obvious that, you know, we wouldn't be still driving these internal combustion engines using oil with, I've personally had meetings with inventors that have had national security acts slapped on them, not to go any further, not to bring it forth. People have had their lives threatened, you know, so forth. This is something that is at a key element of why, when they developed technologies back in the 40s, and they found out that, you know, they have a little box that you can't put a meter on it to give somebody a monthly bill, that these corporations that were infused in with industrial military complex basically, you know, saw that, hey, we can't destroy our oil empire, basically. And they, as Eisenhower said, you know, when he realized it was going out of his control, that it's not going to be in the best of hands. And this is what it's turned out to be.
Now, going back to that CBS editor who found herself shocked when your specific references to the fact that there were new energy technologies, fuel-less, non-polluting energy technologies that could end the energy and environmental crisis that may be related to extraterrestrial technologies. You had mentioned that as we've been discussing the mechanism by which the media is controlled. I mean, this is something that does not, quote, happen by accident. And I was very intrigued to hear of a reported list, a list of 42 CIA and NSA top media executives which oversee national security interests. I mean, we've all heard of Operation Mockingbird, which is a CIA program since the early 1950s, which ensures that there are journalists and editors in place at all major media, print, electronic, broadcast, newspapers, magazines to ensure that national security interests and kind of the CIA National Security Party line is towed and the people get their proper brainwashing. But this goes further and lists 42 CIA and NSA top media executives. Could you tell us more about that list?
Yes, that document does exist. Daniel Sheehan, our legal counsel, one of the 20 witnesses that joined myself, mentioned that document a few times. And anybody wants to see it, there is a media control document from 1991, it's a CIA document, that basically says it has relations with every single media news wire, this is back in 91, to basically spin or kill any stories of national security interests. And anybody can see that document if they want by going to the disclosureproject.org. There's a link to it. And how they do this, Alfred, is, and you're probably aware of this, back when Eisenhower lost control of this and it started to go into deep black projects utilizing mechanisms such as unacknowledged special access projects or USAPs, where, as Daniel Sheehan experienced with President Carter, who was basically denied access from the CIA director at the time, which was George Bush Sr., they lie to anyone that these projects don't exist. So it's through the highly compartmentalization that these operations are able to infiltrate every branch of the military, intelligence community, our media, and through operatives that work within this shadowy government that operates within our legal government system. You got to separate the two so people think, oh, well, the government's hiding information on UFOs. The government, a lot of people suspect this. Some people know, but majority of them are totally unaware of these things, and they've been given, you know, disinformation and official denials. But they operate utilizing a national security apparatus to control the media, to make sure the subject maintains secrecy and is discredited through the media. As I toured with Dr. Greer across the western United States, I took interest in every single major city, how they, we did an executive briefing video for thousands of people in major cities. And when the media came in, they would interview with Dr. Greer, and I would be there, and I'd be listening to what he was saying. I'd watch carefully what they did. In San Diego, they have dancing alien dolls. In San Francisco, they were saying the Disclosure Project's looking to aliens to solve the world's energy problems. In Portland, the announcers were all, like, kind of giggling and saying, oh, UFOs and energies, come on, let's get on with a big story. This week, the Bozos meet the Broncos in the playoffs. You know, it just goes on like that, where this should be top headlines across the world, but it's given the little green man giggle factor to play it down and dumb down the explosive information of what the Disclosure Project press conference should have echoed across the entire planet.
Right, and so what you call the giggle factor is a specific disinformation technology that is used to divert public attention or to baffle, the kind of mind baffles that are put in. But if what you say, there are 42 CIA and NSA top media executives to oversee national security interests, that violates the First Amendment, which is that the government shall make no law abridging freedom of speech, because there you would have the use of covert use of public funds directly to control freedom of speech. So that is a gross criminal violation. And those 42 individuals and other individuals would be subject to criminal prosecution. So what can we do to make that particular list public?
And you know, Alfred, you're bringing up a good point. And, you know, this is not a conspiracy theory, because anyone can, you know, look at, go to the disclosureproject.org, examine all the witness testimonies. When you connect the dots, these people are, you know, generals, admirals, astronauts, 450 plus, with corroborating documentation that basically paints this picture. And if a congressional hearing was granted by the Bush administration, you know, all of this would come out. But it's like we have this it's like we have a virus inside of our it's like the earth being a human living element, and it has this disease inside of it. The trouble is we keep treating the superficial symptoms while we don't treat the root cause, and the root cause is hidden. And it's like a catch-22 because representatives in Washington are indoctrinated in a particular way, and so they don't know what's going on. The media is being maintaining a control so that the public is never aware of the full story of what's going on. And so you've got this perpetuating cycle that's been going on for over 50 years now, and people feel disempowered. Like, they feel, well, what can I do about this? And they know that the movie's not matching the subtitles with a lot of things, and, you know, things don't seem quite right. But when you start to find out what the full agenda is behind the scenes, you know, like in Wizard of Oz, you know, it becomes clear that, you know, our government has an illegal operation operating behind the scenes in this shadowy rogue operation. And I think a lot of those people in there are kind of basically trapped, where they have to keep going along with, you know, once you tell a lie, you have to tell another lie to cover that lie, another lie to cover another lie. And there's a lot of profit, of course, in all of this with energy. It's a, you know, several $100 trillion industry in the industrial military complex, and they all work together, and they seem to keep on with this paradigm that this earth is suffering from and deteriorating from, and unless we can break the cycle somehow. And what I would recommend everyone, once I have a word, is to educate yourself on this by going to disclosureproject.org. And I put an online fax on, and I highly recommend anyone listening to send a personalized fax to your representative, which is free to do, by going to disclosureproject.org. And let them know that people are becoming aware that our government has these influences within it that are not under the control of our legal constitutional government.
We've been with Dan Willis, who is one of the 20 top secret military witnesses at the Disclosure Project press conference on May 9th, 2001. He and I have been talking about the very important issue of covert media control by a superstructure of top secret NSA, National Security Agency, and CIA media executives, which control what gets on the air, especially in the area of extraterrestrial issues, exopolitics, such as what you hear here on Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you. This is your host, Alfred Weber. Would you like to download instantly the book Exopolitics by Alfred Weber that founded the field of exopolitics and was a cosmic trigger to a paradigm shift of opening to extraterrestrial civilizations? Would you like to download a CD-ROM of Exopolitics Radio Season 1 uncut version with interviews you have not heard on air? You can do so now by going right now to our website, www.exopoliticsradio.com, and downloading. There is no shipping, there is no waiting. Downloading the book Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe by Alfred Weber, and the CD-ROM Exopolitics Radio Season 1 Uncut Version. You'll be helping yourself, Exopolitics, and Exopolitics Radio into Season 2. Thank you. Welcome back to this program on control of the media. Yeah, isn't it interesting to know now that there is a secret list of 42 or more, I mean, whatever the number is. We know that as well from the well-documented research on Operation Mockingbird.
of the Central Intelligence Agency, in which National Security Agency and CIA operatives are posing as their double agents, executives in the mainstream media, controlling what we know as news. And we were commenting during the break with our stellar creative director, R.V. Romero, also host of Out and About, which you can listen to at www.outandaboutradio.info. And the thoughts that are coming through is that if we look at, say, 1807 and 1907, all of which introduced, from a certain point of view, centuries of war. You know, the centuries of the permanent war economy really got started in the 19th century and had its flower in the 20th century. And we know that it's all manipulated, that World War I, World War II, and to the present have been brought to you through the technology of Hegelian manipulation of the dialectic of enemies by owning and controlling all sides of the conflict. Through the courtesy of the Brotherhood of Death, otherwise known as Skull and Bones, and many other secret societies and consortiums of the international banking regimes led by the City of London, whose wealth is estimated at reliably $100 trillion, centered in a consortium of 12 banks in a 677-acre quasi-independent jurisdiction at the heart of the City of London in the UK. What makes this different now is that in the 20th century, now we have the weapons of mass destruction, so that if we went forward with the ultimate Armageddon, it would result in species suicide and ecocide. And so that is why we have the extraterrestrial outreach, we have the upper dimensional plan, we have a higher plan, we have the landing of the exopolitics model, we have the dimensional shift, and we have free will. We have the free will in each of us to begin to hear and claim our rights as universal citizens. And that is the process that is occurring now. And what we've learned today is that the same parties in 1807 and in 1907 and in 2007 are continuing to control the information to try and keep the permanent war economy going. But we're continuing to expose it. And you can tune into the higher frequencies to which only ascended and, shall we say, sincere, evolving, upper dimensional beings shall have access. This is Exopolitics Radio, which is produced by Finis Productions in conjunction with 1480 KPHX, Progressive Talk Phoenix, and the Nova M Network. Executive Director, Richard Romero Sr., Director, RV Romero, Producer and Editor, Chris Romero. I'm your ever elusive host, Alfred Weber, wishing you a wonderful, miracle-filled, and transparent media abundant day, week, and life. Thank you.